Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you, it's been that morning. It's been a morning already. It's been a morning already. Oh, God, I tell you, it's Friday, and we're coming on. We're ready to do some good stuff, and already the enemy's going to come up here and start acting up. But you know what? He didn't give you the joy that I have, and he can't take it away. I want to thank you all for joining me this morning with AJ Sheep. This is our morning show. We're about to come at you and get some stuff done. So today this morning I was talking to God, and he was talking to me about a few different things. So what I did, I said, you know what, I'm that guy that you got to talk to me. You got to tell me what to do. You got to tell me what I should be at. So I said, you know what, here we go. Let's see what it is. All right, let's see what's going on. Let's take this moment out inside and see what's really good. It was really going on. See how we're really making things happen, right? So he told me, he said, you know what? He said, because I was all caught up on a whole lot of stuff, but he said, you know what? He said, don't you realize that every time you speak a word of encouragement to somebody, you're doing something great? So today I want to tell you, greatness is waiting on you. Hit my intro. Good morning, good morning. Glory be to God. All right, so here we're about to get it going. We're about to get going this morning. So this is where we at. So this morning, you see the title, Greatness is Waiting on You. And then people always ask me, you know, why do you say stuff like that? What gives you those ideas or what gives you that? God gives them to me. But you know what? It was placed in me from a long time ago. My apostle used to always say when he came into the church, whenever he was talking, he would always tell us that we were great. He always pushed us to be more than average. He always wanted us to be above, you know, not beneath. The word of God came forth from his lips like water. It was flowing, and I love him for it. And since that day, with my studying and understanding, I realized that part of our job as leaders is to do what's right, and to set an example. Our lives is to be an example to the world of what they should do and what they shouldn't do. So what I realized that was the key. The key is that it's not all the preaching. It's not all the praying. But you have to set your mind and put your life in position to be an oracle for God. See, good morning. We about to get going because I'm already hyped up and going. But before we get all weird to that, because I got a couple things to say, I want to say thank you to everybody to come by and visit. I want to thank you to everybody that leaves a comment. And even if you don't give a comment, I hope that something I'm saying will help you have a better day, help you change the way you think, and I hope you can become the best you can be. But I want to also say if you see me out in the streets, holler at your boy. Let me know that you checked me out. Let me know you've seen a couple things. Hey, man, I seen you, man. Keep doing it. Say something to me. You ain't got to leave a comment. Say something. I'm with it. I am not untouchable. I am just like you. So that being said, I want to first say I saw something the other day that really upset me, and it really was like, It was like, because, you know, sometimes we get saved and we start walking with God and we start separating ourselves from things of the world. And sometimes we get too separated. We don't see those things anymore. We start forgetting that they're still there. I try not to do that. One of my ways I try to keep in contact with the world. I will talk to people on a regular basis. I watch news as much as possible. I try to keep myself informed, at least socially informed, by things that are going on in the world, not just in my neighborhood, but in the world. And the other day I was sitting on TV, watching TV, and I watched the news. And I love that show, Good Morning America, you know, with Alex and them when he's joking. Because they make the news, no matter how bad it is, they make it enjoyable, more accountable. And I know some people might say, that's that fake news. I'm like, listen, I see enough hatred and hurt daily. I want something to bring that pain of seeing what's going on in my communities and in my races and in my world. I want to lift some of that up. Not saying I want to get away from it, but I want to lift it up. So they did a story about, and I got to say this correctly. The story was sextortion. It was about sextortion. Now, sextortion. I was like, what in the world is sextortion? Now, I found out that the story about sextortion, so sextortion is actually predators. They come onto your kids' video games. So your kids sitting there playing video games on live or something, and they'll go into the live where the kids are, and then they'll become friends with them. And they ask your friends to, you know, take a picture of yourself and show me who you are. And so as it goes on and on, they get more graphic and more graphic and more graphic. And then at a certain point, the kids have done things, and then they threaten them if they don't do other things that they're going to show the world what they did. Sextortion. It really hurt my feelings that people would do something like that. I know it's not ordinary for people to do that, but I know that right now, with our world, there's so much going on. But I say that to say this, that when I look at a person, when I go to a person, especially women, when I go see a woman on Instagram, Twitter, anything, and I look at their, like how many followers they got, 65,000 followers, 80,000 followers, 120,000 followers, a million followers. When you look at those feeds, or those things they're doing on those lives, you realize that 80% of the people that's following them is not 80% of the people that's following them are men in most cases. And then the men that's following them aren't following them for something they're saying. They aren't even following them because of the way the clothes is. They're following them for the sexual content that or annotations that they put on the page. And I thought to myself, I said, man, how many of these women get approached every day by predators? You know, when you put yourself out there in the community or in online like that, you got to be careful what you portray. Listen, you wonder why you got 95,000 men DMing you, trying to get with you. It's because you're showing them explicit photos, and these people aren't there to be your friends. They're out there. They're predators. They're out there to do what they do. Be safe out there, okay? Anyway, back to our topic. Greatness is waiting on you. Greatness is waiting on you. Now, I laugh a lot of times because people think that what you see right now on camera is me. And it is me. This is the true me. But what you don't understand is that it was so many years that I went through doing so many things that wasn't of God. I can say that now because that's my testimony. I have done so many things that was not of God. I mean, my growing up years was formidable. I mean, when I got saved, I had to get rid of, do a lot of stuff. I'm going to be a little transparent today so you'll understand something. When I got saved, I had to learn to stop drinking, smoking, and doing drugs. I had to learn to stop chasing women. Well, actually, I had stopped drinking and smoking before I got to God, but I had to learn to control all those urges. I had to learn to stop chasing women or the correct way to treat women. I had to learn how to, calm my attitude down because I used to be on edge like that. That guy, you know, that guy that's like on the verge of going crazy every time it's people. I had to learn that pornography and truth about it and how it was affecting my mind. Not just the things I was using it or how I was using it, but how it was affecting my mind. I mean, I literally used to make those porno videos. I had them in my house. I got rid of all of those, gave them away. I ain't gonna tell you who I gave them to, but I gave them away. But I had to do all that stuff and then start working on me inside before I can start working on other people. Greatness is waiting on you. You know, Carrie Ann Moss said, people tell you what to do. The world looks at you a certain way. Parents tell you how to think. Schools tell you how to think. TV, religion. And then at a certain point, if you're lucky, you realize you can make up your own mind. Nobody sets rules but you. You can design your own life. I thought that was so awesome from Carrie Ann Moss because of the simple fact that that one statement is true. Greatness is waiting on you. If you want to be great, if you want to do some marvelous things, if you want to do wonderful things, if you want to go above and beyond the things that you're doing right now, if you want to get out of that neighborhood, if you want to get to a point where you can help people like you really want to do, greatness is waiting on you. Listen to something. I spoke to a woman, an old friend of mine the other day, and she was giving me her testimony. And I want to say to you men and women that are parents or that have had bad passes or you've done something in your past that you're not totally proud of. That's your past. If you're right now making up your mind to change your life, if you're right now trying to walk a better way, then you deserve respect. You deserve to be forgiven. Because if God forgave you, then all you got to do is forgive yourself. I realize that if you don't forgive yourself, that's the key. Because God forgave you the minute you said, Lord, take me. The minute you said you did the sinner's prayer, God forgave you. Now, at this point, it's time for you to forgive you. I remember for years, I was with my wife. I did not think I was worth anything. Every penny I got, I thought I was giving to my family. I spent nothing on myself. I wouldn't give myself anything. And then me and my wife sat down when they had a conversation. And she said, why don't you buy yourself stuff and do it like this? And I said, babe, because I've done so many bad things in my life, I didn't think I was worthy of it. We had a heart-to-heart conversation. And you know what she said to me? She said, baby, you know you've been forgiven. And that thing didn't dawn on me. Now, I was in the ministry for 15 years, maybe 10 years, 12 years at this point, maybe a little bit more. And I didn't realize, or it didn't come to me like that. Like, I had done all kinds of stuff, but I didn't realize that once I got saved, I got saved. The Bible says you become a new creature. All things are passed away. I knew the scripture, but it wasn't in my heart. What you got to understand today is that once you choose God, all that stuff you did that morning, that last week, the week, last month, last year, it's passed away. If you're truly seeking God and you're changing your heart, then you are forgiven. You aren't perfect, but you are forgiven. And all those things you're forgiven for. So you got to take that guilt off you. See, greatness is waiting on you. If you walk around carrying the heavy weights about things from your past, you are not going to be great because you're going to be trying to make up for all those things in the past every day. You can't. Don't you know that at one point in my life, God had me, everybody that I met from my past, whether I did something to him or not, he had me apologizing to him. Everybody apologizing to him. So once I did that and then I forgave myself, he said, if I was steady reaching out to people, and people was turning their back on me, kind of putting their nose up, giving me their butt to kiss. And God said, you've done your part already. If they don't want to be part of your life, don't worry about it. Don't stress it. Don't be like, you know. And I was like, God, I didn't think about that. Because if you're not part of my life because of something of my past that you haven't forgiven me for, then that's your burden. That's not mine. So if you're walking today and somebody can't forgive you for something that you've already asked for forgiveness for, for something that, and you know you've already changed, then if that person can't forgive you, then get them out of your life. Get them out of your life. Listen, me and my wife are a team. And I tell everybody that we are a team. But when we walk in the place of greatness. When we think in a place of greatness. When we speak with authority in a place of greatness because of God. Not because of us. We ain't got no millions and millions of dollars. We ain't got all this and all that. But we do have so much of God in our lives that we take the authority that God has and we walk in it. You have to know that you're great. You made mistakes. You've done things in your past. But if you ask God to forgive you, that stuff is over. Greatness is waiting on you. Today I want to say the scripture of the day is going to be Proverbs 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. That's Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 5. My son, as you accept my words and store my commands within you. First, that's the first thing. If you accept my words, if you have and store my commands, you have, if you accept God and you take his words to be your words and take his commandments and put and make your commandments, that's the first thing. Turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and you cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. See, I smile a lot because God gives you the roadmap. He lays the plan out for you. He opens the door. He leaves the door unlocked. He opens a window from heaven. It's all waiting on you. Greatness is waiting. Listen, you have spent years and years and years doing things for other people. You have been spent years and years and years trying to change your own life. It is not more than just your own self. Don't allow others to downplay what you've already done. See, a lot of you don't realize, if you caught me 40 years ago, that about 40 years ago, I might have sold you some drugs, I might have shot you, I might have robbed you, I was a whole different dude back then. At 18, I was a whole different dude. I was going to get my, listen, if I knew you had something in your house, I might have burglarized your house. Back in the day, that was who I was. And today, this is who I am. So if somebody out there doesn't applaud you or respect what you become to what you were, then you don't need that person in your life. I don't care if it's mother, father, son, sister, brother, if that person don't respect you for the things that you've already accomplished in your life, then that person in your life is only pulling you down because greatness is waiting on you. I want to read a poem to you today. This poem was by Ronald Doe. That's Ronald Doe. And the name of the poem is The Strongest Girl I Ever Knew. The Strongest Girl I Ever Knew. She never got a dance or go to her prom. She never got the chance to forget where she came from. She never got to kiss a man she idolized. She never felt love's bliss because she was paralyzed. She never got to talk about love with a smile. She never got to walk down church's aisles. She never got to say those precious words, I do. But she was far away and the strongest girl I ever knew. She couldn't brush her hair or put makeup on her face. She couldn't hold you dear or give a warm embrace. She couldn't clasp her hands as if in the form of prayer. She couldn't understand why she was in a wheelchair. She never showed her fears or let you hear her cries. She never showed the tears that fell down from her eyes. She never looked for pity or sympathy from you. That's why she'll always be the strongest girl I've ever knew. I'm saying that to you today to understand something. that right now you have done so much. If you're over 25, 30 years old right now, you have children, young children, older children, if you're 50, 60, you've done so much in your life right now. You've changed your life around. You do not have to be ashamed. But take this moment and recognize who you are. Who you are inside. Take a moment and say, I am this. I want this. I can have this because God said I can. You can't sit around and keep sitting around waiting on somebody else to change, waiting on somebody else to get better, waiting on somebody else to validate you for something that you've done 90 years ago. You have to understand that this is your life, and you choose how to live it. And if you live it with God, he'll help you make it better. Listen, I can preach to you all day. I believe me, I have sermons packed up on sermons if I wanted to preach. Like I told you before, I got blogs set up to go from now for the next 4 months without nonstop. I can go every day. Listen, I can give you money. I can do everything, give you everything you want. Or you think the world can give it to you. But understand one thing the world can't do. The world can't make you great. You have to be made great. You have to wake up in the morning and say, I want to do something great today. I want to do something great. I want to be that great person. I want to walk in that great place. I want to be above and not beneath. I want to be the victorious. I want to be the lender and not the borrower. You got to know that you know that you know that you're God and that the place you're in your life is better than you was. And keep striving for it. You can't keep waiting on somebody else. You've worked hard your life. You've carried a whole lot of burdens. You've put a lot of stuff on your soul and on your spirit. But it's time for you to understand that you can be great and it's waiting on you. You know, we all have dreams and aspirations. We all have desires and needs. But God says that he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you won't be able to receive. How is God going to pour out a blessing if you haven't taken charge of your own life yet? If you don't understand that you are worth that blessing, you are worth that to having a good man, not somebody that's going to beat on you and cheat on you. You are worth having a good man. You are worth having a good woman. Not someone that's going to be out in the club every weekend partying with every Joe and Charlie around. You deserve to have a good life. You deserve to dress the way you want. You deserve to live the life you want. You deserve your children and your children's children and your children's children's children for generations to be blessed by what you did. But you first got to realize that you are blessed and greatness is waiting on you. Today, and I say this a lot, and I say this because I need you to understand that it's you. Once you realize in yourself that enough is enough and enough, once you realize in yourself that you want to do better, that you want to change things in your life, that you want to have more, that you want to walk upright, and you're willing to do what it takes to change, see, you think that car and that house and money going to change you. It's going to change you, but it's not going to change you for the better. Take a moment today. Sit down. Ask yourself, who am I? What do I want? How can I go about achieving those things and make a plan? And while you're in there, say, God help. Say, God help. God help me to be a better person. Help me to change my ways. Help me to stop doing derogatory things, sabotaging my own life. The reason why I say it like that is because it took me so long to realize that a lot of the things I was doing wasn't coming from outside. It was coming from inside. I was sabotaging my own stuff. I was allowing people to come into my life that had no business being there. I was allowing people to come into my to deal with people that had